You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 17 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the last two games against Portsmouth and Besiktas. We'll be previewing the League Cup tie with Tottenham and Saturday's trip to Upton Park 2. And Dov will bring us news of a couple of goals for Zoran Totic in reserves review.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 17 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Thanks a lot for tuning in and joining us. Dov, Dan, how are we this week?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm very well. Dan, you good?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, mate.
Fantastic. Well, let's kick the show off by looking at the Portsmouth game, shall we? First of all, 4-1 victory on Saturday. Dan, it was pretty convincing in the end, wasn't it? I know Pompey created a couple of chances and got the goal as well, but Wayne Rooney hat-trick, Ryan Giggs' 100th Premier League goal. It was a pretty good afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good afternoon. I thought we took our chances very well. Surprised to see Kujak in goal. But no, I thought generally we played really well. Portsmouth looked dangerous in the first half, but I think we marshalled them quite well. A few controversial decisions regarding penalties, but I suppose you get some in you. And I think we had two chances where we could have had a penalty. It was Stonewall ones, I thought. Could have been penalties, but they weren't. So, no, all in all, good.
Well, Dov, Dan mentioned Thomas Kuszak there. I mean, we talked about it last week, but quite surprised that he hadn't been given the opportunity, considering Ben Foster's looked a bit shaky and Van der Sar's had the injury problems. And well, he's come in, and he's done pretty well, hasn't he? He's not made any errors. He's had to make a couple of saves as well, and he looked really assured.
Yeah, no, he was very, very good. Made a couple of good saves, and he sort of seems to have stepped into the breach more than Ben Foster did when he came in. It seems like he's really cemented his status as the number two and the one that's really going to challenge Van der Sar in the future, it seems.
And Dan, Ryan Giggs, 100th Premier League goal, and not just that. I mean, his performance was just absolutely faultless again, wasn't it? Considering 36 years of age now, I mean, he's superhuman, isn't he?
He's just a quality player, isn't he? I've been critical of him this season, you know, on the pod, but I think that it's just the way he just keeps on going and keeps on going. I mean, that free kick, technique-wise, you know, it was top draw, really. I mean, maybe the wall was in the wrong position, but you still got to beat the wall, haven't you? And I just think that Ferguson said he could play on for another 2 years, and I wouldn't be surprised if he played on to lose 38.
And Dov, Antonio Valencia, we've been praising him on recent shows, and once again, another decent performance, and I think he really is settling in well, isn't he?
He's got a bit of confidence about him, I think, as well. And he wasn't really afraid to take players on Saturday, which was really, really good to see. And I don't know if it was just me, but it looked even faster than what he normally does. It was just like he was going past Hyderson like he wasn't there. And we did actually say last week as well, when we had the Portsmouth fan on, he basically said that they were really weak at left back, and it showed. I mean, Valencia had Hyderson like turned inside and out. It was great.
I think I could beat Hyderson for pace, though. Well, I'm not being funny.
I don't know about that, Dan. You're quite slow.
I mean, Hyderson, he's one of the players that seems to have been around for years, isn't he? But no, like you say about Valencia, he does look a little bit more confident. You know, he likes taking players on, as we've seen. But I mean, you know, his pace is one of his best assets, and I still think the second half of the season, he's got a lot more to offer us.
Dan, also Wayne Rooney. I mean, the criticism you've had in the past is that he doesn't score enough consistent goals. So now he scored that hat-trick. Do you expect him to go sort of 10 games not finding a goal? Is that what usually happens with Rooney?
I think it was a bit different because obviously two of the goals were penalties. If he'd scored three from open play, it might be a bit different. He might get a little bit more confidence from that. But no, again, I thought Wayne Rooney didn't have the best game. I mean, obviously he scored three goals, but he wasn't the most prominent player in our team. But, you know, that's what you want from your striker, isn't it? Pop up when you're needed. I'm quite happy for him to go, you know, 80 minutes without having the ball or whatever and then scoring a winner. Doesn't bother me. But I thought he played well. But he did all right.
Well, also last week, guys, it was the Besiktas in the Champions League. 1-0 defeat, which was obviously not very good. But sent out our sort of second string, didn't we? A lot of youngsters in there. And Dov, one of the main positives for me was Gabriel Obertan, once again a standout performer.
You managed to get positives out of that game. Jesus, I nearly fell asleep.
Hey, I think that's harsh. I mean, I think that...
I'm going to be harsh. I honestly was nearly asleep halfway through the second half of that game. It was terrible.
I think it's hard because there was not much atmosphere at the game or anything like that, and it was quite flat. And I know you'll probably end up saying, oh, the players have got to make the fans do a little bit of... get them excited, but it's got to work the other way as well. Especially when they're young players, you know, get behind them. I thought that... I was disappointed in Makeda. I thought that he could have had a better game. Well, better show, bit of promise. But like you say, Steve, Obertan, you know, he just looks like he's got raw pace and raw talent, which is something that possibly can, you know, hopefully make him a better player in the future.
And Dan, do you see shades of Ronaldo in him? I know he's come out and sort of said that he doesn't like the comparison. He doesn't feel he's like Ronaldo, but... It's easy to see, isn't it? You can see why the people have said that he's there's Ronaldo in him.
Well, it's a bit early for saying that he's the next Ronaldo or anything like that, or comparing him to Ronaldo. But I mean, obviously he's got all the pace. He seems to have the tricks as well. He's not frightened in a few step overs, is he? You know, people were saying about Ronaldo's final ball when he was at United. Well, first at United, and obviously that improved. And Obertan, I think he put in one decent cross, didn't he? But apart from that, his final ball was a bit poor.
I wouldn't agree with that. I'd say his final ball was quite strong, to be honest. In terms of little touches and laying it off, I think he makes the right decisions. He makes the right decisions when to take a player on and when to pass it. I really do think he had a really, really good game.
Yeah, no, he was probably our standout performer. But I'm in terms of final ball, I'm just going towards his crossing. That's what I'm trying to get through that. I mean, obviously, his simple one-touch passing is pretty good, and his movement, like you say, around the box, it's pretty nifty. And once he gets an understanding with the rest of the players, I think that he'll be a threat and a bargain as well at $3 million if he keeps playing like he is doing.
It's a bit strange that the Bordeaux let him go for such a small fee, especially when you consider how much is being paid for even players sort of over Tan's age and younger. So to have got him for that, it's a snip, really. But Dov, any blame for Ben Foster on the goal? Ferguson's already said that he doesn't hold any blame towards him. What about Raphael? Perhaps should have been tighter to the player when he hit the shot into the corner.
When I first seen it, I was ready to get my Ben Foster notebook out and add another cross against it. But to be fair, it was a deflection. Not really much you could do about it. Maybe you say Raphael could have got a little bit closer, but that's maybe inexperience there as well. I mean, that's one thing, is like it was a really young team, so they're inexperienced, and like they, once Besiktas got that goal, they sat back and were just like, right, we're not going to concede, we've got the 1-0, that'll do us fine. And that was really the way the game panned out, and it was just like watching us trying to break them down and ultimately failing, really.
And Dan, on a final note, Darren Gibson, I mean, we hadn't seen any of him for the season so far, and then he comes in, starts against Besiktas. It was a real chance for him, wasn't it? But just didn't really happen, did it? Nothing came off for him.
No, I was expecting a lot more from Gibson. I mean, he's not played a lot this season, to be fair to him, and he'll probably get a chance tomorrow night against Spurs. But I think, you know, he does similar stuff well. I mean, I think his passing is pretty, his tackling, but I just don't think he's got the movement at the moment to, you know, really challenge for any of the first team players. Well, hopefully, you know, like you say, he's on the young as well, and he'll gain more experience.
Right, well, let's move to Club Cabbage and Player of the Week now then. We'll start with the Player of the Week, and I'll direct it to you first, Dan.
Well, Player of the Week. I think I'm going to go with Antonio Valencia. I thought he was really good against Portsmouth, like we just said. And I'm just hoping now that he can go on a really good run of form that'll, you know, propel us to top of the league and, you know, through the competition as well. I think he's got a lot more to offer, and I think it's a great starting point now.
Dov?
I kind of believe he's not gave it to Ryan Giggs. 100th Premier League goal. It was fantastic. Setting up with assisting goals. It was just a real thorn on Portsmouth's side. I mean, there's only one Player of the Week, Dan. Come on.
There's no room for sentiment in football, Dov.
What were you, Steve?
It would have been quite easy to give it to Giggs, but I'm going to give it to Rooney. Although Dan said he wouldn't get confidence from a hat-trick that's got two penalties, I still think that having been through a bit of a barren spell, to have scored three goals, no matter how they come, I think it's going to be a real lift for him, and hopefully he'll take that into Saturday against West Ham. So, yeah, Wayne Rooney for me. And on the more negative side, it's Club Cabbage. Dov, start with you.
I'm going with one of the central defenders. I think I'm going to go with Wes Brown. I just think him and Vidic weren't really on the same wavelength, and sort of it was a bit indecisive at points during the game, so he's my Cabbage this week.
Dan?
Gary Neville. I think that against Beşiktaş, I thought he was really poor, and he's really starting to show signs of decline now. I know he did alright against Portsmouth, but I just think that he's past it now. We need to get another right back in the summer. I'm fully confident that we'll do that as well. So yeah, Gary Neville.
I'm with you, Dan, to be honest. Gary Neville, I thought he was really poor even against Portsmouth. I don't think he played that well. Got caught out a couple of times. And yeah, I just think it's passion isn't enough anymore at that level. Anyway, he'd probably be all right sort of lower end of the Premier League, Championship. He'd be a great player, but passion and enthusiasm at Manchester United isn't really enough unless you've still got the quality, and I don't think it's quite there anymore for Gary Neville, which is a real shame, because you can see he loves the club, doesn't he? He's Manchester United through and through. So yeah, unfortunately, Gary Neville for me this week. Dan, well, you mentioned you expect a right back to be coming in. I mean, have you got anyone in mind that you think Ferguson will go for?
Not really. I mean, I'd love to get someone like Ramos in from Madrid, but that'll never happen. I don't think he'll ever leave Madrid. Maicon as well from Inter Milan, possibility. Maybe even Rafael could step up and actually show some defensive awareness, and he might get a few games. But no, there's not that many brilliant right backs out there off the top of my head.
Yeah, I agree about Maicon, just because I've sort of noticed a few quotes from his agent that he said, wasn't he linked with Manchester City? And he sort of said, you're having a laugh, there's no way Maicon would go and play for City because they're simply not a big enough club. But then he did say, if the likes of Real Madrid, Manchester United came knocking, Maicon may be interested. So I think possibly...
Apparently, Steve, we were in for him like maybe 5-6 years ago, but we couldn't get him because we couldn't get a work permit for him. Mm. So like Ferguson has been aware of him for quite a while, and I don't know, depends how Inter doing the European Cup, possibly where like his future lies, because he was linked away, linked with a move away in the summer, just as Ibrahimovic was, but he decided to stay.
I think it's a bit too early really for Rafael to sort of expect him to be the right back, like game in, game out, every game, sort of playing Premier League, Champions League. I think we're going to need another defender in there, like Dan said. I don't know, Wes Brown can obviously play there, John O'Shea can play there, so maybe
Wes Brown's getting on a bit now. Wes Brown, is he 30, Wes Brown? 31, something like that.
Mm. Yeah, he's getting on.
He's no spring chicken anymore, and obviously Raphael's at the other end of the scale where he's young. But I just think we need right back, such an important position, I think, in the terms of obviously going forward and defending. I mean, I think you need a bit of experience there. It's not to say that Raphael can't do the job week in, week out, but I just think that experience counts, especially in the big Champions League games.
What about Micah Richards? I mean, he was linked, was it today, with a move across town. Yeah, his best position, I would say, is right back. Do you think he would slot in?
Well, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, a few years ago, I'd have said yeah, but I've not seen much of him this season. It looks like he's declined a lot. He was awful in the Manchester derby, but obviously he's still got potential and he's still a young player, so yeah, I don't see why he's not going to become a good player.
Okay, well, let's take a quick look at the emails. We've only got one this week, but there's one we also missed out on last week because of technical difficulties, shall we say, so we'll pick up those too. We'll start with this week's one from Ollie Chakraverty. He's asked when we're going to be bringing in some new features. He said we should do a Let's All Laugh at Liverpool feature for their pretty good season so far. So,
I like that one.
But yeah, we do have some news regarding features. We should, within the next few weeks, be able to launch a new quiz show called the CAF Countdown, we can sort of exclusively reveal. So next couple of weeks, hopefully, we'll be able to implement that. So do keep your ears open for that one.
Steve, it's not just any quiz show. It's Dan's quiz show.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm sure people will get involved. Well, hopefully, anyway.
Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Well, our second email, as I said, was from last week, but we had a couple of problems and weren't able to put it on the show. So, Troy, your email was that you stumbled across one of our old podcasts and you noticed that there was a Berbatov-Ibrahimovic debate. And I seem to remember that me and Dan were overly critical of young Zlatan at the time. Well, he's not young anymore. He's about 28 now, isn't he? But, yeah, Dan, is that still the case? Are you still against Zlatan Ibrahimovic? Would it still be Berbatov in your sort of first 11?
I've nothing against Zlatan Ibrahimovic before you start accusing me of that, right? I just think that... I think that Berbatov, I just love the way he plays football. Ibrahimovic is possibly more clinical in front of goal. I'll concede that. But I think that Berbatov is... I just like his style. I mean, everyone says he's lazy and everything else, but he's not lazy. And I just think that he's got so much talent. He's just got talent in abundance. And I think that Ibrahimovic...
has got more talent.
Whilst he's very...
But Dan, I mean... Scoring goals is surely the aim of the game for a striker. If you had Ibrahimovic alongside Rooney now, I mean, would that not signal a more potent strike force?
No, because I think that I think Rooney and Berbatov are getting quite an understanding now. I mean, I saw Ibrahimovic last season for Inter Milan, and I thought he was poor against us. He didn't do anything. You know, Vidic had him in his pocket, and it's just the fact that I just don't think... And I'm going to say it now, I don't think he does it enough in the big games, although he just scored in the...
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Dan.
It's not the point, but yeah. Well, go on then, Dov.
The reason he wasn't very good against us, and he's not been very good in Europe when he was at Inter, is because he was their only attacking threat. Basically, what their tactic was, if it's not working, the normal game plan, pass it to Ibra. He'll do something. And when that's basically your plan B... then if you mark Ibrahimovic, Inter aren't going to score. And if you're getting like man-marked, double-teamed, you just know the ball's going to come to you, your forward player. He's not going to be able to do all the things that he can do. And to be fair...
Yeah, but right. Perfect example, Didier Drogba, when he's up front on his own, he can hound defenders, he can win the ball back. He's got so much strength and pace and
he's
power.
He's a different type of player, though.
But you're saying that Ibrahimovic can't hold the ball up. I'm pretty sure he can. He's 6'3" or whatever. He's built pretty well for, you know.
He's not built like Didier Drogba, is he? Come on.
Well, no, but no, but he's not a small lad. It'd be hard to knock off the ball, I'm sure. And with his technical ability as well, like you keep saying, why can't he hold the ball up and pass it, lay it off? I think that he's been helped massively by the fact that he's got players like Leo Messi around him and Xavi and Iniesta.
Hey, Dan, he was still amazing before he went to Barcelona. Last season, 25 goals in 35 games with 7 assists. He's won the league in every single season for the last 7 seasons, wherever he's been in Holland and in Italy with both Juve and Inter. Keeping the ones that he actually won with Juventus, even though they were taken away. And he'll probably win the league with Barcelona this season. I mean, he wins things wherever he goes, whereas Berbatov hasn't really won anything until he came to Old Trafford, and he's what, 27, 28 as well?
Yeah, well, come on, he's not. But Berbatov, when he was at Bayer Leverkusen, wasn't going to be winning the league year in, year out, was he? He certainly wasn't at Spurs. So that's
well,
a bit
why didn't one of them come in and buy him when he was like 23, 24? I don't think he's on that same echelon as Ibrahimovic at all.
We were interested in Berbatov when he was younger, but he didn't come, did he? He just didn't sign for us.
How would you argue this stat, though? When you look at Premier League stats for Dimitar Berbatov this season, he scored only 4 goals in 11 games, and he's only got 1 assist as well. So you say he's all about flair and sort of linking play, but the stats don't really...
Yeah, but I mean, the majority of the goals that you see United score, it invariably, you know, has Berbatov in the centre of it somewhere. He'll always have a part to play in it. It might not be the final ball through to the goal scorer, you know, being an assist, but I guarantee, you know, the future goals at United score, it'll go through Berbatov in one way or another. I think he's a focal player for us.
Okay. I disagree. I think the focal player is more Rooney now, and I don't think Berbatov can be the focal player because of the way he plays.
No, but I'd like to see Berbatov be more of the focal. Let Rooney go off and score the goals, and let Berbatov, you know, do all the creativeness and the engineering of a goal.
The thing is, this is another thing that leans me over to the Ibrahimovic side. See, if he gave the ball to Ibrahimovic, he could do something Berbatov couldn't do. He would do something, it would just be better. He would score a much better goal. He can hit a free kick. His footballing brain is just on another level compared to Berbatov, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, but Berbatov scored free kicks when he was at Spurs, though, didn't he? I remember one at West Ham when it was a great free kick and off the bar. You know, he's just not had the chance to do it. United. I mean, he had Ronaldo there last year. This year, Giggs always seems to take him, or Rooney. Let Berbatov have one. Let him shine. I just think he might too quiet or something. I don't know. Just
that sounds like a plea. Let him shine.
That's a bit controversial, Dov, to say that Berbatov hasn't got the footballing brain of Ibrahimovic. I think Berbatov.
I don't think he has at all. I think Ibrahimovic is a step above.
Anyway, Dov, do I have to ask you, swapping Berbatov for Ibrahimovic? I don't think there's any doubt.
Every day of the week. Okay. I would even give Barcelona some money as well.
Okay, well, let's move on to reserves review now. And as I mentioned in the introduction, it's a couple of goals for Zoran Tosic, Dov, and a victory over Hull.
Was indeed, Steve. It was 2-1 against the Hull City reserves. And Zoran Tosic, right, like you said, got two goals. First goal, basically what happened is it was around about the hour mark. It was a nice, mazy run into the penalty area and a nice little finish down the side of the keeper. Then Mark Cullen had an opportunistic strike. It was a lapse of concentration at the back. But basically after that, we kept pushing for the winner right until the end, and, well, as we always do, got the winner in the 92nd minute. Basically Tosic slotted home for the edge of the box to get 3 points for us, and it was another good performance from us. We've got a great reserve team and sort of dominate games, especially, like, no offence to Hull, but I mean, I can't imagine the reserve team are the best. And Tosic getting two goals, I mean, we were wondering where he's gone, and a great performance from him, and a 92nd minute winner. I mean, that'll get his confidence up, and hopefully he can sort of take that and move on and maybe make a charge for the first team and possibly even a Carling Cup start on Tuesday as well.
What else do you have to do, though, to get a start or to get at least some game time in the first team? I don't understand.
I'm with you, Dan. I mean, from whenever I've seen Tosic play, and he's, even for the first team, I think he's never sort of let himself down. And anyone that saw his bit of sort of creative brilliance for Serbia during the international break, I mean, he basically created the goal. I can't remember. Was it against Northern Ireland? I think it was.
Yeah, it was, yeah. But I just think that the fact that, you know, Carling Cup games, I mean, he came on against Barnsley and I think they looked alright. He had that turn and that shot, didn't he? I think that give him a start against Spurs. You know, who else are you going to play on the left? You'd probably go with Nani, wouldn't you? But I mean, just let Tosic have a game.
I would say that as well. Just quickly touching on Nani, I mean, do you think he'll start on Tuesday? Or do you think it'll give overtime or something like that?
I would have thought he'd start on Tuesday, probably because he's not played many games lately, has he? That's the only reason what I'd go with, but He could play him on the right and put Obertan on the left, I suppose. But
I just think Tosic, I think he deserves, like, two goals in the reserves. I mean, he can't do much more than that. He deserves a chance at least.
Goes back to Dan's sort of argument as to why Nani isn't included in the reserves. It's a strange one, isn't it? Were there any sort of other standout performers from the game, Dov? And sort of who are the big name players playing?
Well, there's a few injuries as well. Magnus Ekrem wasn't playing, obviously Makeda, Welbeck, they were all in the first team and stuff like that, so it was, you could say, a second string reserve side as well. Sam Hewson and Cameron Stewart, they were in midfield and performed very, very well indeed. And Will Keane, who we mentioned last week, he came on as a substitute, and Nicky Adjose also was on the bench. He got up on the bench from the academy team as well. So, I mean, another one as well. Almost forgot. David Petrucci. He got his first reserve sort of match as well. He came on for Magnus Ekrem, who I thought wasn't playing, but apparently he was. he came on for his first reserve sort of game of the season as well. So a few players that we've been sort of noticing in the under 18 side sort of making a step up when the more senior reserve players are away with the first team. So,
What about Ollie Norwood? Was he playing? Because I noticed I saw him score, might have been one or two. I definitely saw one free kick he scored on the international break for Ireland under 21s. It was an absolutely superb strike. It was Beckham esque, really, curled it into the top corner from about 25 yards out, 30 yards. It really was a terrific strike. I mean, was he playing?
Yeah, he played as well, yeah. Norwood was playing, Richard DeLate played as well, and Ron Robert Zieler was in goals. I mean, I like the squad that they've got in there. I mean, it's players that we're starting to know a bit more about. I don't know, it might be because, well, obviously we talk about them every week, but it's players that we're sort of noticing, like, they're getting into the international sides and stuff like that. And, well, to be fair, like, they don't, like, many of them don't really have bad games, to be honest. They're a really good side that Ole Solskjaer's building there, and it seems that it's going to be a bright future for us.
Fantastic. Well, Dob, we'll get you to talk about your legends profile now, and I believe you've got an absolutely fantastic servant from the 90s.
Well, Steve, this week's legend, I thought I'd maybe bring us up to date a little bit, because I've done a few from times gone by that, well, none of us were alive and have no idea about. But this week we have Dennis Joseph Irwin. I'm sure both of you know him very, very well. He was born on the 31st of October 1965 in Cork in Ireland. Started off actually as a schoolboy. He played Gaelic football and hurling, and he played at Croke Park, which is where Ireland play their internationals now. And also, when he was playing the Irish sports, he actually marked in a couple of games Niall Quinn, who was also in his Irish sports as well. Like, they're quite big in Ireland, as both of you know. Right, but football was his love, and basically, he began his career with Leeds in 1983. He made 72 appearances in the second division before he moved to Oldham Athletic on a free transfer in 1986. And he was part of quite a successful Oldham team. They reached the semi-finals of the FA Cup and the final of the League Cup in 1990. And then, well, Alex Ferguson, he came in, obviously caught his eye during that those two cup runs. And we signed him for a fee of £625,000, which, well, bit of a steal, really. And that was in the summer of 1990. He spent 12 years at Old Trafford, played in, well, overall 529 games, which is quite a lot, and scored 33 goals for us. I'm gonna go with his role of honour, because it's been it's quite a list. He's won the Premier League 7 times, FA Cup 3 times, League Cup once. He's also won the Champions League, the Cup Winners' Cup, European Super Cup, and the Intercontinental Cup. And they also won the Division 1 playoff trophy with Wolverhampton Wanderers in 2003. I think, well, we will know him as the left-back, Mr. Dependable, as Alex Ferguson called him. And Alex Ferguson is also referred to him as probably one of his most successful signings. And he was actually the one that coined the name Mr. Dependable, because he could play just as well at left-back or right-back. What else? His free kicks. He was a great free kick expert. I mean, me and Dan were talking earlier on about one he scored against Queen's Park Rangers in the FA Cup, and that was a long time ago, in the mid-90s. It was a great free kick there. Also, he was a penalty taker for a time as well. And, well, this I like this one. As his sort of career wound down, he made his 500th appearance for United on his 10th anniversary of service, and it was on St. Patrick's Day as well. And he actually skippered the team that day as well, and he was also given the captain's armband for his final home game against Derby County, and hoisted the trophy for his 7th league title. He was given a 1-year extension. That was maybe just because, obviously, his loyal service to the club. And he actually is United's second most decorated player, with 13 medals overall, behind, well, I think we know who's behind me, Mr. Ryan Giggs. His international career, he was capped 56 times for the Republic of Ireland between 1998 and 1999. He only scored 4 goals for them. And he played in the 1994 World Cup and was part of that Ireland team that got to the last 16, and also the one that beat Italy, unfortunately, but we won't talk about that much longer. I want to finish on a quote, though, from his Ireland manager at the time, Jack Charlton, and he says, "There are certain types of players who give managers headaches, and I've come across a few in my time in the Ireland job. Dennis, though, is a manager's dream, a class act, a nice guy, and a player you could always bank on to come up trumps." He was a fantastic player, consistent, and always produced all the time. It was good to see him part of that treble winning side as well. He definitely deserved it. And now he's works as a presenter for MUTV as well, doing bits and pieces for them, and also some charity work as well. So Dennis Irwin is one of my favourite players, and he's an absolute legend. So there you go, that is me done.
Redcafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, it's preview time now, and we'll start with tomorrow's game. Well, it'll be today when the show goes out. It's Tottenham at Old Trafford in the League Cup. Dan, Ferguson, he's already said he's going to field a sort of younger team, give them another chance, even after the pretty poor performance against Besiktas. It's going to be a tough game, though, isn't it? Because Tottenham are going to be out for a bit of revenge, considering what happened in the Carling Cup last year, and they're pushing on really hard in the Premier League as well, so they're going to want to gain a bit of momentum, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Spurs are a good team, and I think I'm not that confident about our game tomorrow, actually. I think if we play the same team that got beat by Besiktas, I think Spurs will tear us apart, to be honest with you. I saw a bit of the game against Villa at the weekend, and they played really well second half. Obviously, like you say, you know, they scored 9 goals against Wigan, and I think that we need to take the competition a little bit more serious now. Maybe I'd like to see Michael Owen start alongside Welbeck, but I can't see that happening. I think he'll go with Makeda again.
Do you think he'll play a young team? I think he might go for a bit more experience in this one, to be fair.
I think he's already said that the majority of players that played against Besiktas will be given another chance to sort of impress again.
Will Gary Neville be playing? I mean, because he's played 2 games now within a week, hasn't he? So I'm not sure he could do another game.
Probably be Raphael, right back.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Raphael maybe. I think Brown and Vidic should probably stay there. But I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, like I said, I would like to see Owen start. Maybe they can put Welbeck on the left. Maybe that's what he's thinking, and put Owen along with Makeda. But no, I think we do need a bit of experience in there.
And I think it's the sort of game that Nani has to start in, really, considering Ferguson said that he doesn't plan on selling him at all.
I mean, if he does play tomorrow, I mean, it's a game where he has to perform, and he can't have any excuses. Then, you know, if Ferguson gives him the chance, he's got to perform then. So there's a lot of pressure on him. But at the same time, if he does put in a good performance, then he can make a claim for a regular, you know, first team spot, can't he?
And Dov, I mean, Ferguson said that he feels that the failings against Besiktas, it was more a case of lack of experience rather than a lack of ability. Is that something you agree with? Do you think the likes of Gibson, Welbeck, Makeda, I mean, you could go as far as saying Raphael, but I think Raphael's got a great future ahead of him. But in terms of the other three, I mean, realistically, do you think that they are going to push on and become regular first-team players?
I'm not so sure. I think maybe Welbeck will. I've got high hopes for him, but I think Gibbo, as Dan likes to call him, I think he's going to be more in the sort of, if he stays, more in the sort of squad rotation sort of pool of players. I can't really see him breaking into the first team at all.
Okay, and just get some quick predictions. Dan, you think it's going to be Spurs beating us?
Yeah, I think they'll just have the edge, really. I mean, I think they'll be more experienced than us. They might want it a little bit more. And, you know, Harry Redknapp's got a decent record against United anyway, so maybe it can go to extra time, but I think Spurs will eventually come out on top.
Dolph, surely you don't agree with that?
It's not to sound negative, I just think that's what happened.
Well, it depends. Like, I thought he'd go for a more experienced side, so I think if he does go with the youngsters, then we will get beat, because I can see Spurs, they'll come out with a pretty much full-strength side. I don't think they'll be treating the Carling Cup as a sort of secondary competition. They'll want to win a trophy. And if it's that way, then I think they might have the edge over us, but I don't know. Wait and see what lineup he puts out, to be honest.
We say the youngsters, though, Dov. I mean, it's only, what, 3 or 4 of the 11? When you think about it, it's, what, Makeda, Welbeck, Gibson and Raphael, if he starts. The rest are experienced Premier League players.
But they're not they're experienced Premier League players, but they're not first-team Premier League players. They're players that come on every now and again, do a job, or they'll sit on the bench, or they'll play in the reserves, whereas Spurs will have their first 11 out, their strongest side, and I think that's where that'll be the difference between their strongest side and our reserve side, and I think they might just edge it over us, but I don't think it'll be anything. We won't get humiliated, to be honest.
Well, and on Saturday, we travel to Upton Park to play another London side. It's West Ham. Dan, it's a really tough game, isn't it? I know they're going through a bit of a rocky patch. They beat Burnley on the weekend, I know that, but by all means, they're down near the bottom of the table, and it is a game we should be winning, but they'll be bang up for it, and they've got a few players that can cause us problems.
Yeah, like you say, I mean, West Ham are always up for it when they play United. And they genuinely are. They're a threat against the big teams. I mean, we saw against Arsenal where they were 2-0 down, and they let them back into the game pretty easily. They still, you know, came back from 2-0 down for that game. And I think that the atmosphere is always pretty special down at Upton Park as well. So it's something that we've got to be wary of. They have quite a decent record against us, I think, especially away. Although last season, Giggs scored that goal, didn't he? Which was pretty good. But I think we should end up winning if we have our full strength team out.
And Dov, I know it goes without saying, really, but with the way Chelsea are playing at the moment and looking, well, quite unbeatable, really, you expect them to win on the weekend. So we're going to need to keep winning, aren't we, if we're going to keep that... Is it 5 points at the moment? So any little slip-up they might have, and we can really take advantage.
Yeah, our fixtures, sort of looking at them, sort of coming up in December and over the Christmas period, I mean, we've got a lot of winnable games there, like starting with West Ham and then at home at Aston Villa, Wolves, Fulham, Hull, Wigan, and then going into the new year, Birmingham, Burnley, like Hull again. We've got a lot of, like, from basically now to the end of January when we play Arsenal, we should be picking up maximum points. And whereas Chelsea, I mean, they've got the African Nations Cup to deal with as well. I mean, they've got like two or three players away for that. And the fixtures are, well, a bit more difficult. I mean, they've got Manchester City away at the weekend in the league, Everton to come as well. And I think maybe we should get 3 points back on them in that time period. But like you say, we can't afford slip-ups. We've had too many already for my liking. Well, lads, we've looked at the West Ham game, but I'm delighted to be joined by Ian Dale of the WestHamTillIDie.com blog. He's a West Ham fan, obviously, at the game at the weekend where they won 5-3 and Chris Eagles played a blinder.
He was absolutely stunning. Why did you let him go? I mean, he was the best player on the pitch by a mile.
You never seen him play for the reserves.
Mind you, having said that, he was up against Jonathan Spector, so we have to take that into account.
Another United legend as well. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think he will ever be a legend anywhere. He's one of those players that will always get 6 out of 10 in the player rating. Although he did win a penalty with an absolutely storming run, so we'll give him a bit of credit for that.
Really? Yeah, that's not bad. Could you tell us a wee bit about Zavon Hines? I mean, I watched a bit of the game at the weekend, and he sort of caught my eye a little bit.
Well, he's sort of Jermaine Defoe light in some ways. He's only come into the side this season. He played, I think it was against Tottenham, right at the beginning of the season when we, I think it was a 3-2 defeat, and he was absolutely stunning in that game. He's been a bit anonymous in the last few games he's been in, but against Burnley when he came on, he looked quite bright. He's very good at winning penalties. I think 3 this season he's won. And he's a tricky little player. He's very quick, but he can drift out of a game, and you just don't notice he's there sometimes. But maybe that's when he's at his most dangerous.
Maybe Vidic will need to watch out for him. He doesn't really like pace very much. Another player, I'm quite into my Italian football, and you signed Alessandro Diamante from Livorno in the summer. He's quite a character. Could you let some United fans know about some of his antics since he's...
He's been out for the last two games with an injured hip. He's been a really weird player for us this season. You can see that he has stunning skill, but he seems to shoot from 50 yards thinking he can score. He's Paolo Di Canio without the reserve of Paolo Di Canio. He's scored a couple of penalties. He does some brilliant hodl-like long balls. A couple of goals that we scored. I'm trying to think, what was the game? It was against... was it against Arsenal? I think he just played an absolutely cracking through ball for Jack Collison. He's very skillful, but he's one of those players that if the game's not going his way, he just gets angry and then disappears. And the last few games that he's come on as a sub, he's actually, I think, only started 2 games so far.
is a player who was really good for Livorno last season, so I'm hoping he gets some more starts so everybody in England can see some of his skills. Talk about the club generally. You're hovering just above the relegation zone, a couple of points above Bolton, and obviously there's been lots of speculation regarding the club being taken over by David Gold, etc., etc. I mean, is that maybe some of the reason towards the position in the league? It's some of the sort of uncertainty. I mean, could you maybe shed some light on it, explain a little bit about it?
It is quite difficult to fathom why we are so low, because there hasn't really been a game where we've played terribly. Most of the games we've actually played really well. We've scored a lot of goals. Our goal difference is only, I think, -2, if you look at that compared to the teams around us. So it's a very good goal difference. But we have just shipped far too many goals. And Upson and Tompkins, who were playing together at the end of last season, just haven't seemed to click this season. So Tompkins has now been ditched. I think actually Tompkins will be an England centre-half one day, but he's been ditched for our new Italian defender, Manuel da Costa, who's 22, quite a big guy, and he's been absolutely storming over the last three games, even though in every game we've lost two or three goals. One of the games he was man of the match, and yet we conceded two goals. So I think I don't think the ownership issue really has an effect on the team. It's actually been fairly stable over the last few months, but there's obviously speculation about what's going to happen now. There's a meeting on December the 11th, which could in theory put the holding company into administration. Nobody really thinks that's going to happen. I don't detect many people wanting David Gold or David Sullivan to take over, because we don't think they've really got the money to do it. They seem to want to get the club on the cheap. David Sullivan even suggested that they should give him 50% of the shares of the club, which is just utterly ridiculous. So they are West Ham fans, but I just don't think they've got the resources to take the club to the next level.
How do you rate Zola and Clark as a managerial team? Do you think they can sort of take West Ham to the next level? I mean, Steve Clark, obviously, he's had quite a record at Chelsea, and Zola with the Italian under-21s. I mean, how do you rate those two?
I rate them really highly. I think they've got to be given time. They still haven't really got the team that they want, I don't think, because they haven't been able to buy some of the players they want. They missed out on Marouan Chamakh from Bordeaux in the summer. I think if they'd got him, things might have been a little different. They play really, really entertaining football. The thing that you'll notice this season about West Ham compared to maybe when you last saw us was that they play a much quicker game. There's a real tempo to the game. And when they play quickly, they play really well. There's a lot of intricate one-touch passing. It's when they start playing a slow game and start thinking about what they have to do, that's when it seems to go wrong. So entertainment is what West Ham fans want. Under Alan Kirbishley, I mean, I remember just sitting there one match and saying to the guy next to me, aren't you just bored by this? And I've never been bored watching West Ham before, but it was just boring under Kirbishley. So you can't say that under Zola. It's certainly a roller coaster.
5-3, definitely. That would keep you occupied for sure.
Yeah.
We'll bring it back round, sort of United centric. And what player are you most sort of fearful of from our side come Saturday?
Well, where'd you start? I mean, you look at the United lineup, and I mean, it's impossible just to pick out one player. I suppose everyone looks at Rooney as a player that's on form. He's almost impossible to play at the moment. I think he's seems to me that he's having an excellent season. Berbatov is, I don't know. I've never really been a huge fan of his. He seems to blow hot and cold. I don't know what your view of him is, but and the midfield, I mean, Giggs seems to be on fire when he plays as well. He usually plays very well against us, often grabs a goal. But we quite like playing Man United because we do get results against you. And we always seem to play better against the big teams. It's the Boltons and the Hulls that we seem to have problems with. We always seem to be able to lift our game for when we play Manchester United or Arsenal. And I think what you're going to find on Saturday is Scott Parker. If you can keep Scott Parker quiet, you can keep West Ham quiet, because he is in the form of his life. I do a thing after every game where the people on the blog rate the players. He got 9.3 on Saturday, the highest any player has ever got in any survey that we've ever done. And he deserved it. He was an absolutely blinding, put in an absolutely blinding performance.
And, well, I'll get a prediction off you, Ian. What do you think the score will be at the weekend?
My head says we'll lose 2-0, and my heart says we'll draw 2-2, because we keep letting in 2 goals every game, but we seem to score at least 2. So I'd love to think that we could win, and I mean we have beaten United over previous seasons, but I suspect, because we have got some key players injured, that we're going to find it difficult.
Good stuff. Well, I think we may get a victory. Who knows?
you always think that.
Yeah. Well,
and I understand why.
That's good stuff. Well, Ian, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We've run out of time, unfortunately. But, well, good luck at the weekend.
You don't mean it.
I know I don't. Cheers, Ian. Thanks very much.
All right, cheers.
Well, that's just about it for episode 17 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember to email us, podcast@redcafe.net. And do join us again next week.